Blog Talk Radio.
Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing race issues in the body of Christ. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, God, for this awesome day, God, of all of your grace and all of your mercy that you've given us, God. Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us that we might not sin against you, God. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit you place within us, God, so that we can operate in absolute power, God, and have all access to you and all that you would have us to know and do. Father, I thank you for you giving us new insight tonight on exactly what your will is for the body of Christ and how we're to behave so that we can please you and set ourselves apart from the world's way of doing things and operating. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time. Like you think they should. Don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody. Don't hang up your phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. My son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me, just take this medication, and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I'll lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Worship is shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing race issues in the body of Christ. And the reason we're going to be discussing this is because this is the essence of what it means for us to walk in love as one body and know that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is going to allow us to truly represent God in the earth and not get confused about what God is doing. Not get twisted by having our own agenda to God's agenda. See, you have to remember that God has always been about the business of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. And God has always declared that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him. Because of this open declaration of God Almighty, the devil has set out to decide that to oppose that, to do everything in his power to prevent God from creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations and to dwell with mankind. Any opportunity that the devil has to separate God from man, he takes advantage of. And when we are divided from God by sin, we were divided from God by sin when Adam sinned against God and disobeyed and let sin and death introduce itself into the human family, into the human bloodline, into our experience, then Jesus Christ had to be sent to free us from that curse of death and sin. And now we have the opportunity to choose. God says, I set before you life and death, and then he tells us to choose life. One of the things that God has made very clear is that he is about unity in the body of Christ. There is no separation. There is no disparity. As a matter of fact, one of the great mysteries that occurred as a result of what Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary was that the Jews and the Gentiles became one. The body of Christ, the church, is one body. And this was unknown. This was a mystery until God showed Peter a vision of unclean things coming from heavens and God telling him to eat. And he was saying he wasn't going to eat these things. And God said, don't call what I have called clean unclean. And what makes things clean or unclean is God's blessing upon them or God's word against them. And when God says something is acceptable, it's acceptable. But everything has a time. Everything has an ordained time and place. One of the things that I want to point out is that before Pentecost, the children of Israel were the ordained people of God. That is who the Messiah was coming through. That is the bloodline that the Messiah came through, was the children of Israel. God's promise was to Abraham, and then his son Isaac, and then his son Jacob. And through them, through that lineage, came the Messiah. And this is why the children of Israel are so esteemed in God's eyes and God's sight. God set them apart with a special purpose, a special mission of permanently occupying the throne of David for eternity. And that's a powerful thing when we think of God's design and God's plan, and then to see how after Calvary, God made it so that we were all a part of that covenant. We were grafted into the promise made to Abraham, just as you would graft a plant into another plant. You would cut into the stalk of the one plant and you would attach a branch to it that was not originally of that plant. And that is how we have been grafted into this covenant with Abraham. So the Jews and Gentiles are now one body of Christ. Before Calvary, before Pentecost, you were either Jewish or you were not. And it was possible to convert to Judaism, to become a proselyte, and you would have to get circumcised, and you would be considered Jewish, and you would have to abide by all of the laws and all of the customs, and you were considered a part of that covenant. Well, after Calvary, after Pentecost. We are no longer subject to that. We can simply believe and enter into the body of Christ without circumcision, without obeying all of these laws and customs, and simply believe that the blood of Christ is enough to cover us. Now, what I'm talking about tonight on a more specific note is how in the body of Christ, we seem to have a dilemma. We have a challenge in that many of the ways of the world have crept into the body of Christ, and sometimes not even the ways of the world. It is just a matter of people being comfortable, fellowshipping with only those who are like them, only those who live in their neighborhood, only those who look like them, who sound like them, who sing the same songs as them. And God is serious when he says, I am creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. We have to stand on God's word and come in agreement with God and understand that when we get to heaven, it's not going to look like many of our churches. Many of our churches look like a great sea of people who are all alike, and we have one or two people or a very small percentage of people who are not like us. And that's sad. It's unfortunate because in the world, when they get together in stadiums, in arenas with thousands and thousands of people, you see people of many nations, many ethnicities. Even if you go to the Indianapolis 500 of all places, you will see more diversity than you see in most churches. And God is calling us to represent that heavenly kingdom of many nations right here, right now. I want to read a verse from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 19, that's going to show us the things that God hates. And there are things that God hates. And it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And the one that I want to highlight of all of these things that God hates is the very last one: he that soweth discord among the brethren. See, it is the first and great commandment that we're to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second commandment is like that. We're to love others as we love ourselves. So God's commandment to us between those two is first love him, then love ourselves, and then love others. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it says in the word of God that we're to prefer the brethren. So, you know, we're to love our enemies, yes, but we are to prefer the brethren. Those brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, we are to prefer them. Our love walk toward them is over and above. It's beyond what is normal, beyond what is acceptable. Our care and concern for one another is the body of Christ should be exceptional. It was one of the things in Acts 2 that really got the attention of the unbelievers. It was one of the things, well, one, the fact that they heard those who received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost speaking in their own language. Of the almost 120 people who were there, they heard them speaking in various languages that they related to. And it's interesting because when God divided people at the Tower of Babel, and he caused the languages of men to be confounded, where all the people who had united to build this tower, they were divided by language. They could only speak whatever language was assigned to them at that moment. And then as the land moved, as continental drift, see, the land was one big landmass at that time. And as continental drift occurred, the land moved, and so did the people according to their language groups, because they were all one people at that time. They were all together, but they became separate peoples. And it's interesting here, when you read about what happened on the day of Pentecost, because it was the exact opposite. See, when God confounded the languages of men at Babel, they were all divided through language. And yet, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, all of mankind was united, because all of a sudden, as these Jewish men and women were speaking in tongues, in languages they did not know, they were speaking the languages of all of the people groups who were present in Jerusalem at the time. And that was a sign that God was doing something new. It said that they heard Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? And this I read from Acts chapter 2, verses 5 to 12. And once again, they were asking, what could this mean? And they mocked and said that maybe they're drunk, right? And what we know now is that it was the beginning of God manifesting his heavenly kingdom of many nations by uniting all under the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is something that is interesting, because where this actually starts goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, God promises Abraham. He promises him that he's going to bless him. And I want to read what God says to Abraham. And it was before his name was Abraham. This is when his name was Abram, and he was about 75 years old. It says, God speaks to him. He says, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See, it was always God's intent to bless all the families of the earth through Abram and his obedience to God. See, at this time when God spoke this, Abram was 75 years old, and he was promising a man who had no children, a man who was considered sterile, and his wife was considered barren. And God is promising him, this 75-year-old man, that he's going to make him a father of many nations. He's going to bless all the families of the earth through him. And if that's God's promise, then that's God's intent, is that all the families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham. So which race, which families of the earth do you think God prefers? All families of the earth. And because the weight, because the primary conduit for these blessings come through Abraham and the children of Israel, by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their place in human history is significant. The Messiah comes from their bloodline. They had to endure all of the afflictions of the Old Testament as the devil is trying to prevent this prophecy of the Messiah from coming to fruition. So what you see in the Old Testament are all the attempts of the devil to destroy that and keep that from happening, because once again, as I mentioned earlier, the devil's intent is to resist the purpose of God when he says, I will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with me. And when God says, I am creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations, and the devil has set himself against that purpose. Now, when you see what God says here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, he speaks to Abram and he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. God blesses us when we bless Israel. God curses those who curse Israel. And don't you know that the beginning of racism in the church, my youth, is anti-Semitism of all things, setting yourself against the children of Israel. And then believing that somehow you can be blessed when God comes right out and says, those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. Do you know, I'm going to tell you a story. I belonged to this organization at one time, this religious organization. They had a whole lot of truth. They had a discipline of teaching you how to study the Bible for yourself and how to get down to mastering the scripture. In the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic, and being able to go and study the Orientalisms, and they had a lot of knowledge of the scripture, and I learned much there. I was blessed greatly. But unfortunately, this religious organization, they had a disposition toward the nation of Israel. There were people in this organization who did not believe the Holocaust happened. They did not believe 6 million Jews died and 11 million other people died in the Holocaust. They thought it was a hoax, and they promoted books that actually said this. And the end of my affiliation with that organization was when I came back from the Million Man March in 1995. And they were very upset. While I was in Washington, D.C. at the Million Man March with a lot of African American men who were committing themselves to dedicate themselves to their families again, and their communities and their businesses and themselves, I went to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and it was very educational. It was very enlightening. And I started to see all of the pain and suffering that had to happen for Israel to be restored as a nation again, so that prophecy could be revealed and come to fruition. And when we understand that what God says is going to happen, and we come in agreement with God, all we have to do is stand on the promise of God. Right here, the promise of God to Abraham in Genesis 12 is, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And then he says, in addition to that is, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. And why this is important is we're part of those other families. I don't care if you're Polish, Italian, English, French, Norwegian, if you're a Nigerian, if you are from China, if you're from Vietnam, no matter where you are from, if you are Korean, if you're Indian, if you're Mexican, if you're Hispanic, if you're Spanish, wherever you are from, God loves you, and we are blessed. All families of the earth are blessed through Abraham. And when we understand that Jews and Gentiles have been made one in the body of Christ, then all of a sudden, that means we have been released from our anti-Semitism. We've been released from those who are jealous, basically, of God's people who have been given great blessings, great knowledge, great understanding from God Himself, and have led civilization into a time where we can look for the actual realization of the heavenly kingdom of many nations that God is preparing right now. And those who are jealous of the children of Israel, they seem to have a degree of self-hatred that really defines racism in all aspects. See, racism is really the hatred of oneself that you project on others. And the reason why it's the hatred of self projected on others is because God says, happy to be envied are those who love Him and bless Him and serve Him and are favored by Him, right? But think about what that means, happy to be envied. When someone envies you, the energy they're sending your way is not very good. As a matter of fact, they are basically saying, you don't deserve to be so blessed. What's different from you and me and this, that, and the other? And you know what? It is in this particular situation, the only difference is that there are those who have submitted to making Jesus Christ the master of their lives and those who have not. And if you've not submitted to making Jesus Christ the master of your life, then you have an opportunity to do that, to read and study Acts 2:38 and 39, where it tells you to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It tells you to turn away from serving sin. You have an opportunity to read in Acts 19:1 through 7 how you can believe to speak in tongues and you can believe to prophesy. And you have an opportunity to read in Acts, in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13, where it says that you can confess Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and you can believe in your heart that God raised His Son Jesus Christ from the dead, and you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. See, God is no respecter of persons. There is no distinction between Jew or Gentile, Jew or Greek with God. God is not concerned about whether you are rich or poor or Italian or Polish or French or Indian or Native American. He is not concerned about that. What God is concerned about is, have you made His Son, Jesus Christ, your master? Because if you make Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your master, then you can enter into the before the throne of God Almighty and truly say and know that he is your Heavenly Father, because the blood of Christ covers you. The blood of Christ makes you perfect. The blood of Christ makes you accepted and acceptable before God. That is the difference. The only difference among men that that matters is there are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as the master of their life. The Son of God is your master. And there are those who have not, who refuse to, who say they would never submit to the Son of God. They have to deal with God himself. And you know what? These people have a problem. Their problem is with God. Because God said, if you don't submit to my Son, if you don't make my Son your master, then you can never call me your Father, because he obeyed me in all things. Jesus Christ obeyed God in all things, even up to dying on the cross for you and I, so that we could be accepted and acceptable before God again, after having been plagued by sin through our forefather Adam. And when Adam caused all of us to become less than what God originally created us to be, body, soul, and spirit, when Adam afflicted mankind with sin and death, then Jesus Christ had to be sent from the bosom of God into the earth to take on the form of mankind and be born through a virgin and raised and walk out his ministry at the age of 30, to be crucified on a cross after being beat 3 times for you and I. And either you accept that payment for your sin or you do not. And some people, racism would blind them and say, I'm not bowing down to a Jewish Son of God. You know what? Jesus Christ was Jewish no matter what you want to make him. He was a Jewish man. He was a son of David and the Son of God. And if you can't handle that, if anti-Semitism is going to get in your way and force you to create a myth, your own story, and say Jesus Christ was something other than who he was as a man, you know, there are only so many people groups on the earth. God chose the Jewish people to bring forth the Messiah. And that is all settled. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what we think. It is. It simply is. And that's how all of the Word of God is. It simply is. And as Christians, we have to stand on that word so that we can grow and we can get to the point in our life where we understand that God's word is real. Everything God said he would do, he's going to do. And when he uses us to fulfill his word, we get rewards. When we resist God's word and God's purpose by not understanding that the word of God is the will of God, what God said in his word is exactly what is going to happen. And either you accept it or you reject it. And if you reject it, you're in trouble. If you're listening to this, you have heard the truth. And then you have a decision to make. You have to decide to submit to the authority of the Word of God or not. Now, I'm going to read from a passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 that speaks of us walking in unity. And this is God's will for the church. And, you know, I'm not I'm going to be teaching this series on race issues in the body of Christ for the rest of the year, but it will be in more specific contexts, in specific passages of scripture that are going to enlighten us to what God has done over time. From the beginning of Genesis 1:1, we're going to go through the whole Bible until we understand as a body of Christ exactly how God did this thing, how he started out with two people and then created a heavenly kingdom of many nations. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, Jesus Christ, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into who? Into him, Christ, who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So if you look at what God has done here, he said there is one body of Christ, there is one head of that body, my son Jesus Christ, and you will submit to him as your master. He will be your head. He will be the only head. And see, this is one of the things that we run into when we allow our own racist mindsets and tendencies to guide our decisions and actions and understanding, is we don't allow there to be one head of the body of Christ. We want to have a head over the African people. We want to have a head over the English people. We want to have a head over the Italian people. We want to have a we want a monster with many heads. And the body of Christ is not a many-headed monster. It's got one head. The head is Jesus Christ. God designed this thing so that we can come into the unity of the faith and we can come to the knowledge of the Son of God. And we, as the body of Christ, can become a perfect body, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that the chaos you've seen in the past 100 years in the church, being all over the place, I mean, actually, you can go way before the past 100 years and see the chaos in the church. But right now is a special time because the whole world has been united, almost the same way that it was united at the time of Pentecost, where they heard these Jewish men and women speaking in their own languages, many languages. Well, right now with the internet, we can communicate the word of God to anyone in their language. It can be translated right on the screen of your phone, of your computer, of your tablet, of your laptop, of your smart TV. And there is no excuse. There's no escaping the presence of the word of God. If you want to know, if you want to grow, if you want to submit, look at what it says about the new man in Christ that we become when we are causing the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. See, the body of Christ is built up in love. We speak the truth in love so that we can grow up in all things into Christ, who is the head. See, Jesus Christ is our example. Look at what it says in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." See, the rest of the Gentiles walk in their prejudice, in their racism. And there's a distinction between prejudice and racism. Racism is what you actually do against somebody that impacts their lifestyle adversely. Prejudice is how you feel about people that you don't really know. And you feel badly towards people that you probably shouldn't feel badly to. You just are not familiar with these people. You're uncomfortable. And that means you have to get past your discomfort, past your ignorance, past what you don't know, and begin to experience other cultures, other people. Racism, on the other hand, says because somebody else is different from me, I'm going to use my power and my influence and my ability to cause harm to make them less than me, to make their life less enjoyable than mine because I'm this race and they're that race. And God does not approve of this mindset. God does not approve of this disposition. So God says that, and it says right here, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk," meaning that at one time we did walk just like everybody else. See, the people in the church now, before they were saved, were racist bigots that were prejudiced. And we no longer walk like that as the rest of the Gentiles walk in their racism, in their prejudice, in their bigotry, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the way you used to act, the way you used to think, the way you used to behave, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, racism and prejudice and bigotry is not true righteousness and holiness, and was not created by God. You know why I know it wasn't created by God? Because of what it said in Proverbs 6:19, that God hates those who cause discord among the brethren. It is an abomination to God to cause discord among the brethren. And what's fascinating to me is that when you look at what God said in Proverbs 6:16 and 19, at the first thing he says in verse 16, these six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. The seventh one is the abomination. He that soweth discord among the brethren, that is absolutely unacceptable to God. So I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care who did what to you or what your personal experience has been with people of other races. No excuse. If you allow your personal experience, your personal disposition, the pain that's been inflicted upon you to allow you to cause discord and division among the brethren, then you need to repent. You need to change your mind. You need to get out of your own way. So look at what it says here at the end of Ephesians 4 in regard to not grieving the Holy Spirit. It says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. I want to stop right here for a minute and speak of those who literally stole people to do their work, to build a nation, right? And it's one of the issues why we have such division in the United States of America and other places throughout South America and North America, is there are those who literally stole and kidnapped people from a continent, one of the largest continents in the world, Africa, stole people so that they can do their work for free. It says, let him who stole steal no longer, but let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom ye were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Doesn't that sound like racism to you? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, because all of us were sinners before we were saints, before we were children of God, we were enemies of God first. We have to forgive one another because there were things we did when we were sinners and enemies of God that hurt other people. And when we make Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our master, the Lord of our life, that's what that word Lord means, master, then we become children of God Almighty and are qualified to go before the throne of God because we pass through the blood of Christ, and Christ is behind us, and the throne of God is before us, and we stand in that secret place that no one can get to. When we are speaking in tongues, we are in the secret place of the Most High with God before us and Jesus Christ behind us, and we stand in that blood of Christ, covered by the blood of Christ. See, that allows us, when we acknowledge what we've been forgiven of, then it allows us to easily forgive other brethren and move past our prejudice and our bigotry and our racism. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight, God. Father, I thank you for you touching someone, God. I thank you for you blessing the series and giving me an insight to give people what they can use in order to strengthen their experience in this world moving closer to you. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
Your holy word. If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I know.